for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, July the 6th, 2005. Fourth of July week, family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carla Boutaud is the minister.
Sister Carla Boutaud, God bless you.
I think really nothing needs to be added to the high praises this morning. That was awesome. It was awesome. Is this on? I hear it now. Yeah. I think I made a grave mistake the other day. I realized it preparing for this lesson and thinking about it. I didn't pray when I got up here the other day. That was a grave mistake. Even though prayer is usually offered, you know, at the beginning of the meeting and everything, I struggled through that whole thing, and it was, I really thought falling asleep myself. It was a real struggle. So if you would, let's pray over this before we get started. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every blocking spirit, hindering spirit, the deaf and dumb spirit that would keep your people from hearing. I bind and take authority over every mind-binding spirit, religious spirits, critical spirits, judgmental spirits, the antichrist spirit, doubt and unbelief, any spirits that would block the saints from receiving this morning, Lord, I command them right now, in the name of Jesus, leave this place. I command you to be silent and go in Jesus' name. And right now I speak to the dry bones. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe on each of us. Raise us up, Lord. Put your life into us, so that we might truly know you and the power of your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of the songs really introduced the topic this morning. Ask and he'll give it to you. I love that little song because that's been my experience. Ask and he'll give it to you. And Ron prayed that we would ask in a greater way. That's really what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Anchor your soul and don't ride that wild sea anymore. And our souls cry out to worship Him, and we did worship Him this morning. But I used to ask the Lord all the time because of that little phrase, to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And, you know, how do you do that? What does that mean exactly? And the Lord said, the highest form of worship that you can offer me is to live a holy life before me. And so that's my prayer, is that I can live a holy life before Him and worship Him in my life, with my life, in the earth. So the title of this today is Exercising Practical Everyday Faith. I just thought I'd share this because over the 27 years of seeking God and learning more and more about Him, I've stumbled on some things just because I'm so simple that, hey, if I see it in the Bible, I give it a try. And it's just blown me away, the things that God has done. And so I want to encourage you today to let God out of the box. I don't know if you've got God in a box, but I know that as I became a Christian, and as I saw things in the Word that caused me to step out and give it a try, people telling me, God's not going to do that. And I guess, you know, stubbornness was something that was in my life at one time, but I've developed a new kind of stubbornness. I've developed a holy stubbornness. And I'm not going to let people tell me that God won't do when His Word says ask. when His Word says, let your request be made known. Now, I always hope that I don't ever pray anything that's not God's will. You know, I don't want to pray anything that's not God's will. But when He tells me to make my request, I do. And I heard Diane this morning telling the children that God had a big imagination because of the animals that He created. One had a long neck and one went like this, the caterpillar. And I've always been amazed at God's creation. He has an imagination that we need to tap into. And I have a big imagination. Whenever I approach God for something, whenever I hope for something, my dreams are getting bigger. At one time, I didn't even know how to dream. I became contented with what I had because that's a necessary thing. Paul said, I have learned in every state that I'm in to be content. And I had to learn to be content because before God was Lord, He was my Savior, but He wasn't Lord yet. I wanted stuff. You know, we lived in a house that we could afford because I didn't want to work. I had two older brothers that I watched get married, and both of their wives worked because they wanted things. And I wanted things too. But for some reason, I was able to see down there. And I watched their marriages crumble. Oh, they had a big, brand new, newly built home full of brand new everything. Drive brand new cars and wear beautiful clothes and jewelry and take trips. And I mean, they were living the life. But when it came to other things, it wasn't there. And that big, beautiful house sat empty. They had the house, but it sat empty. And I thought, how sad. They're slaving for this big, beautiful house, and they don't even get to live in it. And so I began to seek the better life. Maybe it wasn't in a great, big, newly, brand new built house, but we could pay our house note. And so I decided that I probably would never have the house of my dreams. And so I'm just going to beautify the house that I'm in like I would if it was the house of my dreams. And guess what? I have the house of my dreams now. So be contented where you are. He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. So my question to you is, who is God to you? Is He God of the big things? Is He God of only your problems? When you get sick or you get in financial trouble, then He's your God. Is He only God of your spiritual life and not your physical life? Some people have a real close relationship with God in spiritual things, but the physical life is up to them. So they take care of the physical life, but you know, the spiritual life they'll let God in on. And so consider letting God out of the box. Whatever box you have Him in today, I just want you to open the lid and let Him out. Because He's bigger than your box. He's bigger than your box. However you have defined Him, He's bigger than that. However you have confined Him, He's bigger than that. In the beginning, I had a box. When I tried to get my box bigger, people wanted to put the box back and close the lid. So today, God is the God of my hopes and dreams. He's the God of my life, my marriage. He's the God of my health, our finances, our possessions. He's the God of our children, our business. You know, in our business, I speak supernatural increase into that business every day. I used to not know to do that. And that's why today it's going to be exercising practical everyday faith, because I want to share with you some things God has taught me so you can start doing them and see a tremendous change in your life. He's a big God. He's a big God. But He's also God of the little tiny things. You know, in my journey, people say, God is not concerned with that. He's not. You think he's concerned? Yes, because he loves me. And if it concerns me, he cares about it. I don't care what it is. I wish I had known this 27 years ago. There's no telling what would be happening in my life right now if I had known these things to do. The first thing I want to look at, 1 Peter. Have I done something? 1 Peter 5, 6. Y'all can look them up today. I'll give you time to find it. I'm going to go slow. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Everybody there? I just had a little anxiety attack over the word humble. My son and I argue over it. I don't know if I was saying humble and he says it's humble, or I was saying humble and he said it's humble. Anyway, humble. I'm going to say, I must have been saying humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that word humble means it's a disposition of total dependence and submission. Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that word care is through the idea of distraction. Okay? Your care. Those things that are distracting you, cast those things on him. It means to take thought. So cast all of your distractions and everything that is distracting your mind from him, cast it on him. Because whatever you care about, he cares about. Let's look at Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. I don't know what it is about standing up here. It's the driest place on the camp. This is it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You want peace? That's what you do. In everything, be anxious for nothing, and let your requests be made known unto God. And then let him have it. Don't pick it back up. I gave a little illustration here one time about picking it back up, and because I'm very visual, I saw God because I had prayed about something. That's before I knew how to make my request. I prayed about it. And then all the day long I thought about how I could make it happen. And one day when I did that, I saw when I was praying about it, God got up to go do. And when I started thinking about it, he backed up and sat down. That really spoke to me. Man, I want him to do that. But he was saying, well, I thought she wanted me to do it, but she's trying to do it, so hey, I'll let her do it. He'll let you. Struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. But that's not his will for you. He really wants you to give it to him. So it's our choice. Struggle or have peace. I'll show you how a little thing that he did the last time I was here. In fact, this time I decided I'm going to take that home because it's mine. I used Mary Kay makeup. I used to sell it years ago when I needed to get out of the house. And the lady that sent my makeup sent me a little gift. Now, I'll do the necessary stuff. I'm not interested in, you know, special stuff to take off my mascara and special stuff. You know, I just slap it, wipe it off, slap it on. But I was going to give this to my daughter. This is not the actual one. But I got one like this from my lady at home. And I took it out, and I thought, what on earth is all this? And I opened it up, and I got the instruction sheet out and was looking at what the things were and got distracted and laid it down on the cabinet and went on to do other things. And the next day, I picked it up again, but I had cleaned off my cabinet and picked up the instructions and threw them away. Now I don't even know what the stuff is. Now my daughter won't even know what the stuff is. So what good is it now? I'm thinking, oh, well. So I thought, well, I'll call the lady and see. Now, it probably sat on my counter for a month because she lives in West Texas. When am I going to see her? How am I going to get to her? You know, all this stuff. So I thought, well, right before I came up here last time, before I left the house, I called her, and I thought, you know, I don't want to throw this away. I'll call her and see if she has another instruction book. She can just tell me what the stuff is, and I can write it on a piece of paper and give it to my daughter. Well, she, you know, it had been a month ago. She didn't have any more. She didn't even have any more instruction sheets. So this went in the trash. Poof, I just dropped it. Well, I want you to know, I got up here and walked into the room where I was to stay, and this was sitting in the middle of the table. And I was like, blow me down. I did. I walked around it. It was just like, Lord, you just absolutely blow me away. I just cannot believe that. I left it there because, you know, I left it there because I'm not in the habit of picking up stuff that I didn't bring. But this time it was still sitting there. To take it home and give it to Katie. It's for her. It wasn't even really for me. It's for her. So that's how God is. I mean, what is this? It's nothing. But I really wanted to give it to my daughter. And see, it was a desire. Now, the other day I said that scripture that says He will give you the desires of your heart. And what that really means to me is that if God wants me to be a part of something, He will put the desire in my heart. I used to think, or I've heard it taught, you know, He'll give you the desires of your heart. So, you know. But God had already shown me that that's what that really means. I will even put the very desire in your heart. My son was sending out applications for medical school recently. He wanted to go to this particular medical school, but it's the most sought after medical school in Texas, I guess. It's in Dallas. And they only have this many spots. And so he called me and asked me to pray about his medical school assignment, where he would go. And I said, well, wait, where would you like to go? Well, I really want to go wherever. I don't even know where it is. I don't know what the name of it is. But he said, I really would like to go there, but there's only so many spots that they have to give. And so I'm just really asking God, you know, to put me where He wants me. And I said, well, that's the most important thing. But where would you like to go? Well, that's the one I'd like to go to. I said, well, then that's what I'm going to pray for you. You know, sometimes we're so afraid to ask for what we really want, that somebody else gets what you want. So I prayed that God would make a way for him to go to medical school at the school of his choice. Well, guess what? He was accepted there. Or they, you know, they interview. It's real different. They call you in. It's like getting a job. They call you in an interview. If they like you, if they want you there, they'll allow you to come to their school. Otherwise, you're looking for someplace else. So he had interviews in San Antonio, in Houston, in Galveston, and the school of his choice. And he got the school of his choice, and he called me, and he was so excited. And I said, Wade, why does that surprise you? The very desire to go to that particular school, God put in your heart, and then he granted it. Isn't that cool? First he gives you the desire, and then he grants it. That's God. He's so awesome. Amen. He cares about everything you care about. So never hesitate to let God what you really want. I just thought that was really cool. Is that not awesome? I went back to that. I remembered that this morning. And I thought, I need to go get that. Because that is a perfect illustration. It's nothing. But yet, he knew that I wanted it. And it was, I even went to the lady that cleans the rooms. Did you put this in that room? You know, it's like people say, how did you know that? How did you know? God. That's how. God knows. We don't have to be worried about other people knowing. Because God knows. He knows the cry on every heart in this room. When Mike first started flying, of course, I thought about this a long time ago, on a commercial jet. I was flying across the United States to go to a writer's conference. And there was, you know, you look down, and I had the same thought that David did in the Psalms. What is man? You know, you're way up here above the earth. You see the highways. My goodness, we have laid a lot of concrete in this United States. The highways is just like the blood flow. It's like the blood, what is it? No, it's like the blood. Yeah, all of the circulation in your body, the arteries and the veins and all of that is just really awesome. But I thought, he knows every person in every house, in every car. Wow. And David wasn't even in an airplane. You know, he had the thought without, you know, that. He was probably just talking about his own self. You know, who am I? What am I that you would even have thought of me? He has thought of us. He has thought of you. Every one of you he has thought of and plans for. So make your request known to God. And then the scripture that is Ephesians 3:20. Let's look at that. We hear this quoted a lot. Ephesians 3:20. When we're describing God, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or think. And that is true. But that's only part of the scripture. The second part of that says, according to the power that worketh within us, or you. We've been talking about how he has given us power over all the power of the enemy. We have that power over all the power of the enemy. But we're not exercising it. We're not exercising it. These are the steps. Commit to God. Humble yourself. And then, because we've been given power over all the power of the enemy, we need to begin to address the enemy. See, I was looking over my notes and I thought, oh, duh. I didn't address the enemy before I started the teaching the other day. And I mean, it was terrible. So we need to address the enemy. How do we do that? How do you address the enemy? See, we pray and then we go. For years, that's all I did. I said, Lord, protect my family. You know, I lift up, you know, and pray for other people and pray for cause, you know, all the prayer, and that is part of it. But we also need, after we pray, to address the enemy. Sometimes I address the enemy before I pray. Sometimes I pray and then I address the enemy. But we need to address the enemy. In the military, they train those soldiers, but they don't stay there. They go into the enemy's camp. And we've got to go into the enemy's camp to be effective. Because he's right there. And, you know, I've gotten to where, well, I'll just do it. This is the way I pray. I commit my family. I name them off. You know, I call off their different things. I'm not going to get into that much detail. But I lift up my family and I pray. And then after I pray, I say, and right now, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you, rebuke you, and render you powerless over their lives this day. I bind the enemy, the demons that I know that are operating in their lives, deception, bondages, addictions, you know, all of the demons that I know that are operating. I bind those demons in Jesus' name. I forbid you to operate in their lives this day. I remind Satan that every one of them received Jesus Christ as their Savior and is covered by the blood, and Him only will they serve all the days of their life. I thank you, Lord, that though it doesn't look like it right now, you're working behind the scenes to bring that to pass. I thank you, Lord. See, I move right from praying, I go to the enemy, and then I begin to prophesy. Learn how to do that, because it just... And really, all the prophesying is speaking with inspiration your desire. When God showed me Ezekiel, because I've done a lot of questioning God about prophesying. You know, what my sons and daughters will prophesy. What do you mean? And He's taught me how to prophesy. He took me to Ezekiel, walked him around those dry bones and said, "What do you see? You see those dry bones? You think they can live? That's pretty hopeless. Looks pretty bad. Well, speak to them." And then he told him what to say. Prophesy over these bones. Tell the bones what to do, in other words. What do you want those bones to do? Tell them so. That's what I learned. That's what prophesying is. I prophesy over my children, over my husband, over our business, over the church, over... You know, I speak my desired end. So begin to do that. That's prophesying. You know what it is too? God did this. Every time He told one of the mighty men of God, "I'm going to change your name to this, and you're going to do this and this and this and this and this." It's calling those things that are not as though they are. That was really God's idea. I'm going to talk about that in the next lesson in Romans. But that's what prophesying is. You call those things. Lord, I thank you that... let me see if I can do one without getting personal or exposing anything that I shouldn't. When Kyle was in prison, Lord, I thank you that Kyle is a righteous man, that he is a mighty man of God, that he will, and that's what I'm talking about. You prophesy. He's sitting in prison. I'm thanking God for something that isn't. Do you see? Prophesying over your situation. You take power over it, really. So begin to speak things into your situation. Just really awesome things begin to happen when I started doing that. Wow. Take God out of your box. Here's another thing that I'm learning. It's how to take dominion. Not only exercising your power, but take dominion. That is another way of exercising your power. Let's look at dominion. In Genesis chapter 1. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Now He's already created man. Genesis 1:28. Everybody there? And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Dominion. That word dominion means to tread down, let's see, subjugate, bring into servitude, govern over, prevail against, take over, rule over, and reign. That's pretty powerful. And God gave that to man. Now, Adam lost that for us, but Jesus Christ came to redeem everything that Adam lost, did He not? That means to restore. That means to bring it back to its original state. So, being simple-minded, well, that means that I am restored to the state of Adam and Eve when they were created before the fall and given dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. I have done that with the car before, and it ran. I'm serious. Okay. Over every living thing that moveth upon the earth, and subdue it. And that means almost the same thing as dominion. It means to tread down, to disregard, to bring into subjection, force, conquer, bring into bondage. That's what the word subdue means. Okay, so, you know, I say to people sometimes, most of the things that I've learned, I've stumbled over. Now, this scripture, and this is why it's so important to read your word. Read your word. Read your word. Read your word. Because it gets down in your heart. And it says that the Holy Spirit will bring it to you when you have need of it. So I'm driving down our dirt roads in Roganville. That's outside of Jasper. I always say Jasper because, well, Roganville is on the map, but it's not a real city. There's nothing there but dirt roads and a church. So I'm driving down the dirt road, and the trees are real close to the road. The road is only wide enough for one car. You meet somebody on the road, which is rare. You got to pull up on, like, the side and let people pass. But I'm driving down the road. There's always birds, squirrels, you know, all these things. And one day, it always makes me flinch because you don't step on your brakes on a dirt road. You'll wind up in the trees. So I always just flinch and hold the wheel really tight and run over whatever it is. You know, because you can't dodge it. You can't swerve. And once we had a deer jump out and hit the car. I mean, I don't know what it is with these animals. They have a death wish or something because they're just, I don't know why they want the road. They have all the woods. But anyway, I did. That's what I did. That day it just flew out of my mouth. I thought, what did I say? Whoa, dominion. I like that. I had to go home and look it up and look up the meanings and everything. I know that's in Genesis. But anyway, I said, I take dominion over the fowl of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth, and I command it in the name of Jesus to stay out of my roadway. Boy, that felt powerful. It really did. I mean, it wasn't me. The Holy Spirit brought it out when I needed it. I want you to know I don't have trouble with the birds, the squirrels, the rabbits, the deer, armadillo, snakes, nothing gets in my roadway anymore. Nothing, I'm telling you. So begin to use dominion. You get in the car. When I take a trip, listen, my in-laws are so precious. They're so good to me. I mean, they love me. And they are good to me. So every time I take a trip up here, I drive a 95 Buick, okay? I love that car. It's a mode of transportation. Paint's beginning to come off the front. It's looking a little ugly. But anyway, every time I take a trip, they say, oh, take our car, take our car. Take our cell phone, take our cell phone, you know. I don't have a cell phone. I don't want a cell phone. So I take their cell phone because it comforts them. They worry about me being on the road. And I've never been worried to be on the road because I'm not by myself. And so they just insisted, take our car, take our car. I was going to West Texas to see my daughter. That's a 626-mile trip, okay? So I'm in their car, which is, I'm driving it now. So I'm driving the car, which they've given to me, by the way, but there's some things that has to happen before they can, well, he has to get another truck before he gets it to me, so. So I'm driving this car to West Texas, and I drive it all the way there, all the way home, because it's newer, it's safer, it's more dependable, you'll be safer in this car. I got home. Of course, when I got in the car, Lord, I take dominion over the fowl of the air and over everything that moves upon the earth, and I command it in the name of Jesus to stay out of my roadway. That includes vehicles, 18-wheelers, you know, people walking, everything. Stay out of my roadway in the name of Jesus. And I speak, this is just part of my everyday prayers, I speak supernatural mechanical and preservation over this automobile in the name of Jesus. Supernatural mechanical and physical preservation. I really do it when we get in the airplane. Mike is taxiing down the thing and saying, Satan, I bind you, rebuke you, and render you powerless from this flight. Lord, I ask you to put the mighty angels around these wings. And he's coming in for landing. And I say, pillows of air, Lord. Pillows of air. Pillows of air. Because landings can be dangerous. And I speak supernatural, mechanical, and physical preservation over that airplane. And then when we land, I thank him for a safe trip. That needs to be part of our everyday. This is how you can bring your faith into practical stuff. Practical stuff. So I get home from my trip in the good, safe, newer car. And a few days when I got home from West Texas, I was coming out here for the Memorial Day camp. And Mike's daddy said, I want to go have the oil changed and have the tires rotated before you leave for Arkansas. Okay. My mother-in-law, so they come in two cars, and my mother-in-law is in the car to drive it to Walmart where they're going to have this stuff done, and the power steering went plumb out. Now they get to Walmart, and they're going to have the tires rotated. And you know, when I got to my daughter-in-law's, of course, it was on a slant. They had a hole in the driveway or something. And that front right tire looked kind of low. And so I said to Charles, look at that tire. Does that tire look low to you? And he said, no, I think it's all right. It's probably just because it's sitting in that hole. So I went home. Drove home. They get to Walmart. We get back, and I always tell his parents, I'm okay in my Buick. I promise you, I am okay in my Buick. And he said, you know, God really does take care of you. I said, he absolutely does. Why are you saying that? He said, the right front tire had wires hanging out of it. I'm going down the highway. I had never had a thought of it. Wires are hanging out of the left front tire. Do you see how we have these false safety things? The better car is not always the better car. Pray over your car. Supernatural, mechanical, and physical preservation. Because do you know that was supernatural, physical preservation? The tire was on wires. And those were new tires. Now go figure that. You can't, new tires are not a safety net. That should not be where you put your faith. So remember that one. You get in the car to go on a trip with your family. Don't just be at the mercy of whatever happens on the highway. Take dominion before you leave the house. And then go have a good time. Rest. Anchor. See, it's all, he is our safety. Insurance is not going to keep you from wrecking your car. Dominion might. Dominion will, I say. Okay. I love to go blackberry picking when the berries are ripe. Well, aren't you afraid of snakes? No, because I take dominion. I enter that field and I say, I take dominion over every snake, spider, stinging thing and everything. Move in Jesus' name. And then I pick my berries. See, Mike is around. He hears me do that. Nobody else is around, but I wouldn't care if they were. When I'm by myself, my dog thinks I'm talking to him. He comes and sits right in front of me. She must be talking to me. No snakes. I don't even get red bugs. I forget about the red bugs. Somebody said, well, don't you get chiggers? I said, no, thank you, Jesus. They're gone. I take dominion over everything that moves. Go. Pick my berries. We went fishing. This was just so awesome. It's such a habit that I wasn't even really waiting for the response. Mike and I went fishing over the holidays. And my son and daughter-in-law were there, and they had just come back from fishing. And I said, I want to go fishing for a little while. Mike said, well, it's almost dark, and we've got to go. And I said, just for a little while. Okay, well, we'll just stay right here in the cove. Fine. So we got in the boat, and my son and daughter-in-law are standing on the pier. And I wanted to catch a fish. I love to fish. But we just don't go very often. Now we're flying. We don't fish, we fly. So we get in the boat, and I'm casting out the first time. And I want to catch a fish. I want to catch a fish. And then I thought, what are you doing? I said, I take dominion over the fish in this cove. And I say, bite my bait in Jesus' name. And my son and daughter-in-law, they're always like, there she goes. I guarantee you it wasn't 5 seconds. Bam! I got a fish! trot. I hope he does it when I'm not around. I really do. I really hope he does it when I'm not around. But it's given to us. I even looked up the ark story. Is that how those animals got in the ark? Did God bring those animals? Or did Moses? Noah. Did Noah take dominion over the animals and call them in? It says God brought the animals. But he didn't have dominion. He lost it. I mean, it was lost then. See? What? Well, that's true. But God kept the animals and Noah and his family because they were in the ark. That's where I want y'all. In the ark. We need to be in the ark, which is Jesus. Jesus is the ark. Years ago, they say, the ark is a type of Christ. What? What does that mean? Moses was a type of Christ. What? What does that mean? The ark is a type of Christ. Get in the ark. The ark is Jesus. Those are all types, which means, it's representative of. So get in the ark. Also, over this storm, the tempest of the storm, let's look up Mark 4:37-41. I love this one. I love them all, but some are newer than others. Mark 4, what was that? 37-41. You all know the story about the storm that Jesus was in. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. Everybody there? And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was now full. You know, that boat was full of water. And he was in the stern, Jesus, was in the stern of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Used to, when storms would come, Mike's mother would call me. I don't watch TV, but she would call me because I guess she watched the Weather Channel. I don't know. There's a really big storm headed y'all's way. And I would say, okay. Thank you for calling. And but she was so worried about these storms. Now, they did have a tornado hit really near their house, and a tree fell smack dab on our car. It's another story. But I used to, before I understood this, I would pray the angels around our house, and that's a good thing. Do that. I mean, that's okay. But that's what I used to do. I would pray the angels around our property and over our house and over our animals and over Mike's business and wherever he was, wherever our children are. I just was so busy praying about that storm. Now I walk out of my front porch. I see the clouds. I take dominion over this storm right now, and I say, peace be still in Jesus' name. Why? Because one day over the storm, I thought, what did Jesus do? Oh, okay. I've been given that. To those who believe, gave he them power to become the sons of God. He was the Son of God. Look at all the things that he did. He's just our brother. I mean, he's our not just our brother, but he is our brother. He is the firstborn. We're his brothers. If we believe on him, then we have the power that he used. He gave it to us. He went to sit up there so that he could send us the Holy Ghost and power. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, the power, we all have, when we receive him, we receive his Spirit. But we're talking about the power. We need that in order to live this life with success. So if you don't have that, seek it. Seek it. So I just go out on the porch and I say, I speak peace in the name of Jesus. I forbid tornadic activity. I forbid damaging hail. I forbid damaging lightning. I forbid flooding. I forbid damaging wind. And then I say, and there will be no loss of electricity in my house. Because when you live in the woods, every time a gust comes, a dead branch falls off, and you have no electricity for hours. So now I say, and there will be no loss of electricity. No loss of electricity in my house. Well, guess what? My lights don't go out. I mean, unless it's really a doozy. Our lights don't go out. And the storm doesn't even hit us. We have dominion. So next time a bad storm's coming your way, don't get all fearful and start clearing out the hall closet. I used to do that because I was terrified of weather. Weather just terrified. I've never been in a tornado. I was scared to death of tornadoes. I had a fear of a lot of things. Unnatural fear. Just fear. The spirit of fear was big in me. So go take dominion over the storm. You know, the first time you do it, there's not a whole lot of confidence there. But do you know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? And when you begin to speak the Word of God over things, after a little while, faith comes. Faith gets bigger. Your faith is increased. The faith is already there. He's already given you all the faith. You just need to exercise it. And as you exercise it, it's just like a muscle. Gets bigger, gets stronger. Exercise it. Exercise it. We were at the airport one day. We were supposed to fly over to this other airport. They have, who knew? But every month, every week, every weekend of the month, they have different little airports here and there. They call them fly-ins. Must be a bunch of old hippies that fly. Like they had the sit-ins. But anyway, they have these little picnics at these airports. And we were supposed to go to one. And Mike told me recently, honey, I'm so glad you like to fly with me. I said, I love to fly with you. Because a lot of these guys are all by themselves when they fly. They fly with other guys. But I always go because I want to be involved in his passion. And he loves to fly. And I love to be a part of that. So we were going to go to this picnic, and a couple of the other guys were in the airport, a thick fog hanging. And they were getting really anxious because, are we going to be able to leave at all? And I was like, one guy said, I wish this fog would lift. And this guy's a Christian. And I said, instead of wishing for it, why don't you take dominion over the fog? I said, let me show you how. Let me show you how to take dominion over the fog. God, you belong to God. You have power you're not using. So I walked over to the window. I said, fog, lift in Jesus' name. I take dominion over the fog, over the elements in the air, and I say, lift in Jesus' name. Ah, we were off the air in 20 minutes. He's like, you know, it's really sad that the church does not know the power of God when they see it, because some people would say, she's a witch. You know? It's the power of God. Like I said the other day, hey, those witches don't mess around and teaching new witches how to use their witchcraft. We need to begin to teach the body of Christ how to use the power that they've been given. Amen. We're getting whipped around.
Amen.
I'm tired of being whipped around. That's what made me seek all this stuff. I am tired of being whipped. We've got the victory, but I don't see it. Lord, I know you've already got the victory. Thank you for the victory. I want it. Where is my victory? I want the victory. We have the victory. Do you know what I'm learning? That Jesus walked in a realm on this earth that we don't see, we didn't know about it. He lived and moved and had his being in it. He did the things of God. He performed mighty works. And it's still here. That realm is here.
Amen.
We just need to get in it. We don't know how to get in it. We are spiritual beings trying to fit in a natural world. That's why we're all frustrated. We just need to get in the spiritual realm. Live in the spirit. I want I said, Lord, Adam and Eve gave it away. Give it to me. I'll take it. Teach me how. Hey, I'll lend it. I'll let other people see it. I'll show them how. Just teach me how. Teach me how to live the life that Adam and Eve forfeited. It's there. It's still here. Jesus bought it back for us.
Amen.
He bought it back. There's so much more than getting your ticket to heaven. The kingdom, we're supposed to be bringing the kingdom here, not waiting to go to the kingdom. It's here. In us, it's here.
Yeah.
Do you know it says, your will be done in the earth as it is. What are we made of? Dirt? We are the earth. Let his will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. We don't really go anywhere. They just can't see us anymore. Our box dies. The package that we came in dies. And we're still here. I mean, we're there. We're not here, but you know what I'm talking about. The kingdom is here. It's not just there, it's here too. He intended it to be here. Adam and Eve lost it, Jesus bought it back. Let's have it.
Amen.
Let's live in the kingdom. Don't wait for the kingdom. Bring it here. You know, the hurricanes too. This came to me just writing this down the other day. Where do all the hurricanes come from? Africa. Don't they? Right off the coast of Africa. Isn't that where they start? A little wind begins to blow. And then it turns into this monster that has the whole coastline of America shaking in their shoes. And they directed away from us, directed away from us. And, you know, when I used to pray, I was like, well, what about the people over there? I don't want it to hit there either. Now I take dominion over the hurricane. I see see the clouds that begin to twist this way. Lord, I take my finger of authority. Mike gets so sick of hearing this. Oh, he dreads a storm in the Gulf. He really does. He gets so sick of me. The weatherman says, we have a little disturbance. I speak death to that storm right now. I take my rod of authority and I stir it backwards like this, Lord. I just scramble those clouds in Jesus' name. Die in Jesus' name. You know, dominion. Dominion. And many times they just, oh, you know, two or three days later, it's not much going on there. Die in Jesus' name all the way. I just, you know, I believe it. I believe the Word of God.
Amen.
Romans 8:22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Why? Waiting for the manifestations of the Son of God. The whole creation is waiting for us to find out who we are and start acting like it. I'm learning, so I'm bringing it to y'all. Okay, now we're going to move into sickness. Let's look at James 5:14. We all know this. We all know most of this, but not all of it, huh? You know what? There is nothing new, but this is new to the body of Christ. Dominion is new, but it shouldn't be. And it's not anymore because y'all heard it. It's old news now. Take it. Give it away. Teach other people how to use dominion. Take dominion over their storms. James 5:14, is any sick among you? You know why I ask that? Because there shouldn't be any. But if there aren't, let's get you taken care of. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. For a long time, I didn't know the second part of that. For a long time, well, of course, we don't even do the first part. Let him call on the elders of the church. People are beginning to. Healing is really moving in. I'm so happy to hear that more churches are beginning to administer the laying on of hands and oil. Oil. That's my old Texas. Milk. Would you give me a glass of milk? That's God's provision for his people. I did a little booklet on healing because, you know, I just got sick and tired of losing good saints to sickness. And I mentioned this, but I really need to pound it, because I don't care what church you go to. I mean, every church has basically the same Bible or a form of it in their church. It's God's Word. I don't care what flag they fly under. It's the Word of God. And we need to do it. When you get sick, call on the elders of the church. But then I learned, before that, even in the home, and I want to touch on this, because Chris said something last night that just excited me. He woke his wife up. God told him, wake up your wife and have her pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Because I was trying to decide, do I do this one today or that one today? That's the one I'm going to do. Because I want us to look at Ephesians 5:23. See, I'm really sorry that so many people are gone. Not because I like to talk to a lot of people. But there were a lot of parents here, lots of couples, married couples and parents here. And I really would like for them to have had this knowledge, because it's changed our life. 5:23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. See, the instruction to call on the elders of the church is because God gave this provision for the church. God, Christ, is the head of the church, and when you get sick, because of the order of the elders and the pastors and everything, he wants you to go and be under that and ask for prayer and the anointing and all that. And then God, because he's true to his word, miracles happen. Miracles have an opportunity to happen. But a lot of miracles are not happening. There's no... The power is being restricted in the church because we don't do it. But in the home, the husband is the priest of the home, like Christ is the priest of the church. And it says he is the Savior of the body. Now, Jesus is the Savior of the body, but in the home, the husband is the Savior of the body. Do you see the little body? He has authority over his wife and his children. And our husbands need to understand this. Authority and power. Let me tell you, the first time I asked Mike to lay hands on me, it nearly killed him. And I don't mean that symbolically. I'm talking literally. Because this happened about 3 years ago, and I had this pain. Well, it was a redness in my eye. Got really bloodshot red. And it hurt. All the time, it felt like someone with a really bad bruise and putting pressure on that bruise. It was a constant ouchie. And I had gone to work with Mike, and all day long it was that way, and it was making me really tired. We had rented a movie we were going to watch together, and so I thought, hey, the Word says, not even this scripture, but, well, let's turn to it, because it's a backup for this. 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. Now, this is talking about marriage. And a lot of people would say that, no. That's just talking about the sexual relationship. But I beg to differ. It is talking about fornication. And this would be a good thing to talk about the young people, that it's good for a man not to touch a woman. That really needs to be taught to our young people. It doesn't mean, hey. It means, hey, touching. He says it's not good for men to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication, because this leads to fornication. It sets a fire. That word touch means to, like, set a fire, stir up and everything. But anyway, it talks about fornication or anything, but in verse 3 it says, let the husband render unto the wife her due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Wow. We have power over each other's bodies. See, God said, wake up your wife and have her pray for you. Why? Because she has power. Power. She has power. Now, the first time I used that, I was looking at Mike outside in the back and I said, Lord, your word says that the wife has not power over her own body. Likewise, the husband has not power over it. I exercise that power right now, Lord. You've given it to me. And I exercise my authority and power. And I speak into him a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. See, that's God's will, isn't it? God wants him to have a hunger and a thirst. I don't say I want him to go down to the jewelry store and get me that ring I want. Don't use it like that, because that's witchcraft. But when you pray the will of God, it's okay. So, I prayed that. It was on a Friday evening. I was standing at the sink, and he was out there trying to figure out how to do something on his low boy trailer. First, I said, Lord, give him ideas, concepts. Give it to him. Make it plain. And he did. And then I said, and your word also. See, that came up. If I hadn't read this before, the Holy Ghost gave that to me. And so I prayed it. And forgot about it. Went to bed, got up the next morning, Saturday morning. He got up before I did. He was sitting on the couch, and his Bible was open on the coffee table. I had to walk to the coffee pot like, when I wanted to go. You know, you have to be so cool because you don't want to let him know. I would never, you know. He doesn't know about this. So he won't listen to this anyway. But no, he won't. He won't know about it, I promise you. but it has power. So when we get sick, oh, man, I've been fooling with this for like days. I'm going to call the doctor and get a doctor's appointment. Well, that night, we were going to watch the movie, so I said, Mike, you know what? The word says that you have power over my body, and I'm hurting. Would you come and lay hands on my head and command this pain to go in Jesus' name? He said, I don't know how to do that. I said, oh, I'll teach you. Come here. It's time to learn. I need you. And so he did. It's like, y'all pray this prayer with me. Father, everybody says Father. I said,
Father.
Yeah, I just said to Mike, just repeat after me. You know, but God will honor that. He submitted. Submit one to another. He did it. He didn't have any confidence that it was going to do anything. But he did it. Led him through the prayer and he prayed it. And I mean, within 30 minutes, it was gone. Hey, I was excited. Now go to him with everything. It's like, oh, man, am I your doctor or what? It's like, when I find something that works, I'm on it. But we watched the movie. Now, I love to watch movies, and I usually end up watching them by myself because 20 minutes after it starts, he's asleep, which is okay with me. He didn't want to watch the movie. And so, well, he did, but he just goes to sleep. But tonight he didn't go to sleep. He was awake. He saw the whole movie. I was amazed. Then we went to bed, and he turned on the light and got a book. Now I'm concerned. You never do this. What's the matter, Mike? He said, well, I didn't want to say anything, but my heart's beating funny. I said, what do you mean your heart's beating funny? He said, it's just beating funny. It's erratic, and it's making me real jittery and nervous. And he said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. Well, I just laid hands on him and spoke to the heart, commanded it to slow down and beat steady, and I spoke deep sleep that he would sleep all night long. And he did. We went to bed and went to sleep. When he got up the next morning, his heart was beating erratic and making him jittery and weak, feeling and nervous. And so I went to work. I was working at the pie place at the time, and he went to work. And he called me at the pie place about 10 o'clock, and he said, "I'm locking the door, and I'm going to go lay down in the recliner in the back." And I said, "Because of your heart, Mike?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Honey, are you nervous about this? Do you want to go to the emergency room?" I didn't want him not to do what he wanted to do because fear that I would say, "Buck up," you know, or whatever, which I wouldn't have done. If you're scared, you better go to the emergency room because there's no faith in fear. You better go. So he said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wait. I've decided I'm going to wait another hour. And if it's not better, then I might have to because I'm really feeling strange and sick and weak." Now, in today's terms in the medical profession, you better get to the hospital. You're having a heart attack. You know, which looks like a duck, talks like a duck, probably a duck. And I was concerned because, see, I had been practicing my raising the dead prayer, and I didn't want Mike to be the first one I had to use it on. I'm serious about that, y'all. Now, not on Mike, not first. But anyway, my son called right after that because he had called his daddy and talked to him at work, and he was really worried. And he said, "Well, how long has this been going on?" And I said, "It started last night." And pink! I thought, right after he laid hands on me. I am not having this. I got on the phone. I said, "Kyle, I have to call you back. I know what the matter with Daddy is." So I called him up, and he answered the phone, and I said, "I know what the matter with you is." And he said, "What?" And I said, "What did you do right before this started last night?" Well, he never even went to the laying on of hands. And I said, "You laid hands on me, and Satan doesn't like it. And he's trying to kill you. He wants to make sure you never do that again or scare you bad enough that you'll never want to lay hands on me again. I'm not having that. Put your hand on your heart." So I'm in the office of the pie place on the phone, taking dominion. I commanded Satan to take his hands off my husband. You will not stop him from laying hands on me. It is written that he has power over my body. And you take your hands off him right now. I speak to that heart. Be healed in Jesus' name. Okay, we got off of the phone. And after lunch, he opened up the office and worked the rest of the day. And as the day went on, he got stronger and stronger. Let me tell you, everything is spiritual. Everything. You know why? Because we're spiritual beings.
Amen.
People who are not spiritual beings, their junk is flesh. It's all flesh. Go to someone who takes care of the flesh. Jesus is our physician. I'm not condemning doctors. But if you're a believer, he is your great physician. He is your healer. So, from now on, y'all, if your wives get sick, go to your husband. I don't care whether they're saved or not. He's the priest of your home.
Amen.
I remember praying that prayer. "Lord, Mike is the priest of this house, whether he knows it or not." And so I'm going to go to him and ask him this. And I'm going to trust you to give him the answer that I need. Learn that's what submitting to your husband is unto the Lord is all about. Submit to the Lord. You're submitting unto your husband, but pray before you do it. You better pray. Pray before you submit to your husband, whether he's saved or not. And do you know, I got the answer I wanted. I knew what I wanted, but I didn't want to be selfish. So I made my request known to God, and then I went and asked my husband, thinking full well that he was going to say, "Forget it." But he said, I don't see any reason why you can't do that. Submission is good. Submission is good. Wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. I'm hoping that some of you young ones will hear this and save yourselves a lot of heartache in your marriage. Isn't that good, though?
Yes.
Save yourself some money. God is not giving you money to give to somebody else. Well, let me rephrase that. God is, will prosper us for the kingdom. I meant like to psychiatrists and doctors and all that. Heck, it's after
12. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to stop. I'm just going to trust that you've heard, and if I have another opportunity, I'll finish this one. How about that? Did you get enough?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask right now. In fact, I just impart to them, if that's possible, Lord, but it's my desire. More, greater faith to believe and trust, humble themselves in that disposition of what was it? Total, complete dependence and submission. Humble themselves before you and then receive and to exercise their power. To exercise everything they've heard today, Lord, I pray that it would be part of their everyday life from this day forward in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the food that we are about to partake. I ask you to bless it, bless the people that prepared it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.